Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
Fourth and final hour of the Thursday edition of the Dana and Parks program. It's good to be with you this afternoon. This just cleared from Michael Mahoney's Twitter page. He's reporting this afternoon that the Kansas Secretary of State, Scott Schwab, is predicting 70% turnout in Kansas this year. That is up, or would be up, if it turns out to be true, from the 67% that voted in 2016. And according to CNN, which is keeping almost a minute-by-minute tally on this, 80 million advanced ballots have already been cast. That is more than half of all the ballots cast in 2016 nationwide.
Now, I don't care if you are for
or against
early balloting voting or against early mail-in balloting voting. I will point out, because this was in a fantastic New York Times article about hypocrisy this week, that for everyone screaming and fighting in various states to stop mail-in balloting or make it harder for people to mail it in, I'm talking to you, Texas, where in one community they've decided to give them one...
It's one box per county.
Voting box
per county
in a county of 1.4 million people.
Go with Harris County, which is the home of the city of Houston. Harris County, Texas, Harris County has 5 million residents.
Yep.
They have one ballot drop box.
Yep.
One.
So for everyone fighting this now,
that just reeks.
You will find it interesting to know that the opposite party fought this in 2000 when they thought a handful of votes in that very close Bush-Gore election might have swung the election for the Republicans. In that case, the Republicans were fighting, screaming tooth and nail all the way to court to get those late mail-in ballots counted.
And in fairness, Democrats were fighting to not count them.
And here we are now in 2020.
And everything's been reversed.
The tables are turned.
Yeah. The hypocrisy is so rich you could cut it with a knife. It's like rich chocolate cake.
Yeah. Mail-in ballots shouldn't count that are late unless it's year 2000 and we need those to count.
And I just want to point out that everyone who says the election has to be finalized by next Tuesday night, the election in 2016 was not settled until Thursday of that week.
Catherine Harris, yes, Thursday of that week. I really hope that we have a result.
No, you're talking about 2000 with Catherine Harris,
yes,
right?
Yes, we have a result sooner.
Well, I do too, but what I'm saying is everybody who's screaming, you know, we've got to have a result by that Tuesday night.
Nope.
The election in 2016 was not settled and officially called until Thursday of that week. It took 2 days.
Okay.
I'm just bringing up facts. Okay.
You keep saying 5 days and it's all over, and I feel
No, I actually think it's going to be less than that. I think we'll know by the weekend, by next weekend. I think we'll have a good idea by the middle or late next week. Maybe even, I guess it all depends, quite frankly. I can't read these things, and I stopped predicting it when I thought John McCain was going to win in 2008. So I just gave up the prediction business because I suck at it. And the only political prediction I've ever gotten right, ever, I did pick that John McCain would select a little-known senator named Sarah, a governor named Sarah Palin to be his running mate. And that was the one I got right. I remember being on with EJ and Ellen that morning in 2008, sitting on the edge of my bed, doing a phone interview with them. And they said, well, who do you think John McCain's going to pick? I said, my guess, and you're going to call me crazy, I can still remember it as if it was yesterday, he's going to pick the governor of Alaska, a woman by the name of Sarah Palin. And I remember Ellen goes, who? I go, Sarah Palin. Mark my words.
And that's the last time you were right.
That was the last time I politically picked something correctly, yes.
All right.
So
Go vote. We don't care who you vote for.
I couldn't care less. I just want you to vote. Just vote, for God's sakes. And then when you vote, then you have a right to complain. You don't vote, shut your mouth. I don't want to hear a word out of you.
70% is a good number.
Yeah, that's good. I would think it would be higher.
I would have guessed this year it would be higher.
But see, that's the thing. And I think everything, and not to quote the late Tim Russert, Florida, Florida, Florida. And Florida, keep in mind.
But isn't it really screwed up, Scott? And we have the Electoral College, which most people get a headache when they think about it. Isn't it really screwed up that it always comes down to one or two states that decide this thing?
Yeah. Well, it's somewhere between seven or eight, but yeah. And they're all like equally divided states, Florida, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, blah, blah,
blah. But how is that fair that it's always the same states that decide this thing? It's not fair.
Well, I mean, there are people listening to this program right now, I guarantee you, who will defend the Electoral College till the cows come home. My solution has always been it would take I don't even know that it would take an amendment to the Constitution. It would require states to do it. Because Nebraska and Maine already do it, and there's no amendment to the Constitution that gave them the authority. I say you split every state proportionally. So Kansas has six electoral votes. If a certain candidate
gets four,
and the other candidate gets two,
they split it.
Or if it's right down the middle, they each get three.
It's not all or none.
That would be my argument, yes. But you're not going to get states like California say, yeah, we'll go ahead and give some of ours away to the other side. And states like Kansas, which are, you know, historically red, are not going to say, sure, we're going to go ahead and give two to the other guy in blue. It's not going to happen.
So people want to change, but you don't know what other system we would have. It can't go to a straight popular vote. That would be a nightmare.
I agree. I actually think a popular vote would be a disaster. Because what you end up with is California, New York, Florida, Texas, Illinois, they get all the attention. Yep. All of it. Massachusetts.
Well, but a handful of states get all of the attention now as
well,
it is.
And that's a fair point. But they're lesser populated states, you know, other than Florida, really, that get the attention. I mean, how many times is a certain candidate going to campaign in California unless he's going there to get money?
Right.
He's not going to go there to get votes. And how much is another candidate going to campaign in, say, North Dakota or South Dakota? He's not going to get those votes.
But don't those voters deserve to see the candidates too?
Well, I would make the argument yes, but I mean, even if it was switched over to a popular vote, they're not going to get them.
Yeah.
You think anybody's going to come to Kansas for our 2 million votes when they could spend all their time out in California, try to get 40 million? It's just not going to happen. Anyway, here's this story. It's, I believe it's from CBS. As the Supreme Court tilts further right, now remember, we do talk about things in the world of politics, but we don't talk politics. No naming any of these candidates. I don't want to hear their names. As the Supreme Court tilts further right following the confirmation of a certain justice by the first name of Amy last week, some LGBTQ Americans are worried about the future of same-sex marriage. and a number of couples are taking matters into their own hands and rushing to the altar for fear of this recently won seat being being chipped away at or even reversed. A week after the Senate Judiciary Committee voted to recommend Barrett, Pastor Tori Jameson organized a series of wedding ceremonies outside St. Louis City Hall. Quoting here from Pastor Jameson, "I was really feeling upset about the nomination, especially for LGBT people. She's made it clear she wants to roll back their rights." During her confirmation hearings, Barrett indicated that if there was a challenge to Obergefell versus Hodge, the 2015 case that brought federal recognition of same-sex marriage, it is likely that lower courts, quote, would shut such a lawsuit down before it made it to the Supreme Court. But she has previously defended John Roberts' dissent in that case that same-sex marriage should be decided by the states.
So we have several local pastors, and I have seen this on Facebook over the last couple of days, who are performing these weddings for free for anyone in the LGBTQ community who feels like they want to run to the altar.
The argument being you can't retroactively assert a law, I guess would be the argument.
Correct.
You can, and there's a Latin term for it. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I'll look it up. And so if we get married before it gets shot back down and becomes...
It's legal.
Where it would go back to the states and say Kansas outlawed gay marriage. Well, sorry, we're already married.
Yeah.
That you can't retroactively apply that law. 576-7798. Would love to hear from those of you in the gay community. Are you moving quick?
Or are you a pastor who has agreed to perform these ceremonies now?
576-7798. 576-7798. Dana Wright, Grant Miller. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Are you? Welcome back. We have one line open, by the way. A story here, and I believe it's from CBS, that gay couples in America are rushing to the altar for fear that the recently shifted, if you will, Supreme Court, now 6-3, will soon consider gay marriage lawsuits, and overturn the not too recently approved legalization of gay marriage in America. So they're ex po facto, by the way, is the Latin term, ex po facto. And so where a law cannot be retroactively applied. 576-7798. Brenda in Roland Park. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I don't think it's reasonable for the Supreme Court justice to step in on this, to disallow gay marriage. I mean, where have you ever heard that that's a bad thing to love someone? I mean, some of the heterosexual marriages, maybe we need to step out on that one, I would ask. But I don't think the Supreme Court would have their nose in this. And if they want to run it state, that's fine. If people want to rush to the altar, I think that's just a mistake in the making. Unless you planned on getting married in 2 years and now you want to rush the event for in the next year. But I did it. I'm happy about it. Didn't feel rushed into it and really don't have a, and maybe I'm just kind of numb or dumb to the fact, don't have a fear that it'd be taken away. I just don't see the public or social or even financial value in that for anybody to want to not allow that.
I'd like to think you're right, Brenda, but this is bigger than just marriage. So if you have adopted children together, are worried about your will, here's a big one, your health care proxy. That's
sure.
What folks are worried about, too. Not just the marriage arm of things, but your legal rights, your spouse's legal rights, your benefits where you work, like all of that stuff.
But, you know, in that same tone, and I understand, and that makes total sense to me, but so many times people are, grandparents are getting their grandchildren in on their health care benefits, and I mean, there's always that legal loophole. If you want to do it, you can get it done. It just makes it more of a pain in the keister to go down that road. But if that's where people are taking this, then that's where it'll go.
All right, be safe.
You too.
Hey, how's everything in Roland Park this afternoon?
Oh, gosh, it's so beautiful. I just left KU. We're rocking it out there as usual, and everyone's staying COVID-free that I know of in my little social group. We're having it. Roland Park is beautiful right now this time of day at 526.
Oh, it's beautiful, Brenda. Thank you
and
for the call.
And the red wine I'm drinking tastes even better.
Okay, all right.
That's awesome.
Justin in Raytown. Hello, Justin.
Hey, so I think it's odd that the newly appointed justice might say that it would go back to the lower courts and leave it up to the states. I mean, I'm generally a big proponent of states' rights, but the federal government already inserts its nose into if somebody is married from a federal tax standpoint. I don't see why the Supreme Court would send this back to the states.
Well, and keep in mind, the federal government has also inserted itself, if you will, in all sorts of protection issues. You can't discriminate against people because of their color, their gender, their religion, et cetera.
Right. And so to send this back to the lower courts doesn't seem logical.
Yeah. Now, I want to be fair here, Justin. there was a survey that came out actually this morning that said a majority of Americans think it is illegal in the United States to discriminate against people because of their sexual orientation. That is not true. In some states, it is illegal, but the federal government has never passed class protection status for homosexuals.
Correct. And if they were to, say, reverse this particularly, anybody who is a federal employee who is of the LGBT community is going to see all of their employee benefits. I don't know if that would get reversed, but you said because of ipso facto would not get reversed. But anybody a current federal employee who is of that community would not be able to get married and be able to provide benefits to their spouse.
Correct. Or
you would not be able to provide federal benefits to your spouse.
Or, Scott,
if you're a federal employee, yes, you have federal benefits.
If you end up with a hodgepodge of states doing different things, that to me is a nightmare. So that you're legally married and you're protected in California, but if you go up to Oregon, you're not.
Well, in Oregon, you would.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean,
go to Utah. Utah would be a good
example. It has to be all or none. And yes, Utah is a better example.
And by the way, Justin, to your point, and yes, you're right, if you had a federal job, but don't forget, you also receive benefits from the federal government that extend to your spouse, even if you are not a federal government employee. Think Social Security. Anne in Lenexa. Hello, Anne.
Hi.
Hi there.
I say this. Everybody keep their nose out of everybody else's personal preferences. If it's a federal law, make it a federal law. Then we don't have to do all of this line chopping. And I don't have any problem with our recent
Supreme Court decision.
Well, no, with the new...
Oh, with the new justice?
Yeah, the new justice.
Okay.
I believe that she will keep her word, because that's they swear to do that. And if it's a federal law, then they should just make it a federal law so you don't have to worry about what state you live in.
Anne, I agree with you, and thank you for the call. In just a week or two, the Supreme Court will be seated and hear arguments on Fulton versus the City of Philadelphia, just coming up, Scott, here in November, which will decide whether foster and adoption placement agencies have the right to use their religious beliefs as an excuse to not comply with non-discrimination protections. And that's coming right up. It's one of the first cases out of the gate they're going to decide. Can you deny people the right to adopt
if
you are a religious adoption agency? Can you deny foster and adoption rights to any protected class?
To a protected class? Well, boy, I'm torn on that one. That'll be a fascinating case. 576-7798. 576-7798. Grant Miller, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cock your head to the side until I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying, get that together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room. I realize it's all my fault.
A couple of Chiefs-related stories that I just find kind of funny. I had totally forgotten about this. You know, they played the Jets this weekend. The Jets actually passed on Patrick Mahomes in 2017.
How'd that work out?
It didn't work out very well. No. They believe the Jets might already have their quarterback of the future in Chris Hackenberg. And if they didn't, they would grab him in the 2018 draft, which was being viewed as a more QB-rich draft. The Chiefs, the Jets' decision to bypass Mahomes will never be viewed as harshly than by the Chicago Bears, who traded up one spot to number two and took quarterback Mitchell Trubisky. Part of the reasons is the Jets' selection of safety Jamal Adams, who was an All-Pro last year. By the way, Hackenberg never played a down for the Jets, bounced to the Raiders, Eagles, and Bengals, and he is now out of the NFL. And this quote, Adam Teicher from The Star quotes Chris Jones as saying today regarding the Jets, and it is the quote of the year. Chris Jones, "That's a very good football team," he said of the Jets. "People forget that because they haven't won a game." That's a pretty good football team. People forget that because they haven't won a game.
That is awesome.
The Boston Marathon will be wiped out by the pandemic for the second straight spring, organizers said yesterday, pushing the 2021 running of the world's oldest annual marathon back to at least the fall of 2021. Yep. The Boston Athletic Association said the 125th edition of the legendary race, traditionally held on Patriots Day in the hills of Massachusetts, could be rescheduled to the autumn, but a specific target date has not been set. All right.
Okay.
And then I stumbled upon this online from insider.com. I always love these kinds of things. The movie roles that big actors turned down.
Okay. All laid on me.
All right. Here's just a couple. Matt Damon turned down the role of Harvey Dent in The Dark Knight. Didn't want it.
Okay.
See here. Leonardo DiCaprio turned down the role of Dirk Diggler in Boogie Nights.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Which went to Mark Wahlberg.
That is correct. Emily Blunt turned down the role of Black Widow in Iron Man 2.
Okay.
Now Black Widow is becoming its own franchise. That movie's been delayed. Oh. Denzel Washington could have been Detective David Mills in 7. Brad Pitt got it when he turned it down. Jack Nicholson turned down the role of Michael Corleone in The Godfather.
No way.
Yep. Obviously, it went to Al Pacino. Oh, Al Pacino turned down a lot of big roles, including an offer to play Han Solo in Star Wars.
I cannot see Al Pacino as Han Solo.
Tom Selleck had to pass up on playing Indiana Jones. Harrison Ford obviously got that one.
Yeah, but how many? Flip it around. How many actors passed on roles that ended up being turds, and you think, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I didn't agree to star in blank?
Tom Selleck was chosen to play Indiana Jones, but he had to drop out because of his contractual obligations to Magnum PI.
Ooh, wow.
Harrison Ford declined starring as Alan Grant in Jurassic Park. That one went to Sam Neill. Huh, I didn't know this. Johnny Depp was considered to star as Ferris Bueller.
And you cannot see Ferris Bueller in your mind with any other actor
than Matthew Broderick.
Than Matthew Broderick.
You know who else was considered to play Ferris
Mm-mm.
Bueller?
Mm-mm.
Jim Carrey and Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I don't see either one of them either.
Burt Reynolds says he regrets turning down the role of Garrett Breedlove in Terms of Endearment. Jack Nicholson got it.
God, what a great flick.
Where is Terms of Endearment filmed?
Nebraska.
University of Nebraska.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because her cheating husband takes the professor job there. That's why.
Let's see if there are any other good ones in here. Nope. That's good enough. This is an editorial from the Kansas City Star, a warning to Kansas City police. Keeping innocent teen in jail could be an expensive mistake. A federal appeals court sent a timely and important warning yesterday to Kansas City police. You are not protected if you clearly violate someone's constitutional rights. That was the message in a ruling handed down by the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals. It was a 2-1 decision. The judges reinstated a lawsuit against two Kansas City police officers involved in a mistaken arrest in 2016. The case made headlines at the time. Two officers were summoned to a Southtown neighborhood to investigate reports that teenagers were mishandling guns. The officers confronted a trio of teenagers, one of whom disposed of a weapon and fled. A few minutes later, officers near the scene arrested Tyree Bell. He was 15 at the time. They identified Bell as the fleeing suspect, only that it wasn't true. As the appeals court noted, Bell and the suspect shared only generic characteristics in common. Both were black, both were juveniles, and both were male.
And they kept Bell in jail for 3 weeks.
Bell was taller, had different hair, wore different clothes, and showed absolutely no sign that he was running from the police. He sued. Bell did. A circuit judge dismissed the case, claiming the officers had qualified
immunity. Keep reading.
But the appeals court reinstated the lawsuit with a common sense decision. Officers are allowed to err, but they cannot ignore evidence that would exonerate a suspect.
How much is it worth that they kept your son locked up for 3 weeks for something he had nothing to do with? Now, keep in mind, we have talked on this very program about mistakes that have been far worse. 23 years behind bars, 35 years behind bars,
right,
for something that the accused did not do. But a teenager, 3 weeks in jail. I'm surprised the judge allowed this to go forward because, in my opinion, it's too easy to hide behind qualified immunity. It'll be interesting to see what this family walks away with.
What do you think it's worth?
God, I hate putting numbers on this. Numbers on your freedom for 3 weeks.
But you're a teenager. Keep that in mind.
Why does that matter?
Well, I think it matters a lot. You're a 15-year-old kid. I think you handle jail a little bit differently when you're 15 as opposed to 30.
Bell was released after the detective finally viewed the dash cam footage that immediately would have exonerated him. He was wearing different shoes, different shirt.
Different clothes.
Different
totally.
Clothes.
Had different
hair. Height.
Different hairstyle.
The officers argued in court documents that they are trained at the police academy that during foot pursuits, suspects will often wear more than one shirt, pants, or pairs of socks for the purpose of shedding clothing and changing their appearance.
There was no sign that he was running.
Yeah.
20 grand.
Okay.
Just settle for 20 grand and let's get out of here.
Let's make it 30 and you got a deal.
25.
He was in for 3 weeks. That's 10 grand a week.
25.
30.
That's $9,500 a week. Take it or leave it.
I want the full 10.
Take it or leave it. That's our only out. See you in court. 576-7798. He was 15 years old. This was in 2016. He was 15 years old. There were three kids mishandling guns, apparently, on a Southtown neighborhood. One of them took off running. Police arrested this young man. Clearly did not match the description other than he was young and he was a male and he was black. And then he sat in jail for 3 weeks. Did nobody think we've got to start charging him sooner or later? 576-7798. 576-7798. Molly Ringwald turned down the lead in Pretty Woman. Ooh. Julia Roberts turned down the lead in The Blind Side. That went to Sandra Bullock. 576-7798. If you'd like to comment on this editorial in the Kansas City Star. You can also text us if you'd like. Same number. Just make sure you put a 913 in the front. Dana Wright, Grant Miller, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
All right, Big Brother, this is a little freakish.
No. The parent company that owns Burger King and Popeyes is inviting the robot takeover to the fast food race. Restaurant Brands International, Inc. announced this week that it will roll out 40,000 new drive-through screens at 10,000 restaurants that will, among several other advancements, guess what you're hungry for. Using predictive selling technology, the drive-through screens will use factors including previous orders, regional weather patterns, and the time of day to personalize special promotions just for you.
Okay, so on the very super freezing first day of fall when you're like, ah.
And last year I ordered a Whopper.
And you go through Wendy's, they're going to suggest to do you
Burger
want
King
a chili?
Popeyes.
I know, but you get my point.
Yeah.
Would you like chili? It's very, very cold out. Maybe they want chili.
Mm-hmm.
What does predictive points mean?
Predictive selling technology.
How do they know what I'm in the mood for?
They can predict it with an algorithm.
They cannot.
Because they know who you are. See, that's what
any
I don't know.
Any married couple knows this is total BS. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you want for dinner? I don't know.
Loyalty programs will then customize menu options based on your repeated orders. New technology will also allow for immediate, remote, contactless payment that will let the guest order and pay simultaneously. Quoting here from Jose Sill, CEO of the restaurant Brands International. Our guests, they always call us guests. We're just a customer. Just give me the damn burger. I'm on my way. Our guests have sought out our drive-through lanes for our iconic food.
Okay. Iconic.
This was obviously not a spoken quote. This was written by somebody else other than Jose Sill. Our guests have sought out our drive-through lanes for our iconic food and beverages throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, even in the face of mandated dining room closures around the world. We believe strongly that it is time to modernize our drive-through lanes throughout the U.S. and Canada to provide even better, quicker, and contactless service for our guests.
Nope.
This includes presenting menu options on digital screens that are tailored for each guest, as well as integrating our loyalty. Now, see, I think this is going to add time.
I agree, and here's why. How many times, and this happened to me today, I was in the car with my son. Press 1 if you'd like a representative. 1. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Yes!
Oh my God! I start screaming in the car. Then it says, give us your account number. And let's say it's 964C1. 9657G. Is that right? And I go, no! Representative! I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. You really want your drive-thru doing that to you? No way.
See, what if I go up to the drive-thru? Because I do like Burger King. I like the Whopper Jr.
Let's try it another way. I just threw my phone out the window.
So let's say I roll up on Burger King. But today, I'm not in the mood for a Whopper Jr. I want the chicken sandwich, okay?
Right.
Which is delicious, too. And I roll up, and it puts up the Whopper Jr. on the screen right away. And then I have to tell the lady, I don't want that.
No, that's not what I want.
I want the chicken sandwich today. But the computer knows the last 4 times I drove through, which, by the way, I'm still trying to figure out how they know that. Jinx, you owe me a Coke. How do they know that I ordered a Whopper Jr. the last 4 times? What kind of records are we keeping back there, kids? I think this is just a little too big brother for my taste.
No pun intended.
I'm walking up, driving up to the drive-thru. I'll let you know what I need.
They are rolling out 40,000 new drive-thru screens at 10,000 restaurants.
By the way, this is coming. By the way, I know how much you love self-checkout. I thought of you the other night. Have you seen? And I love Hy-Vee. The Hy-Vee in Mission is the greatest grocery store in the history of the world. Have you seen what they did in there?
No.
They used to, Hy-Vee, there's a friendly smile in every eye.
Yeah.
They used to be all person-based
yes.
checkout.
You go to checkout, there's a human being there.
There was Pam and all the other older women that would check you out. There was one lady who said, I loved going through her line because she would hand me my bag
And she would always look at me and say, I hope you have a blessed day.
Aww.
And I'm like, oh my God, I hope you do too. Thank you so much. Overnight, it's all.
Oh no.
All.
Oh no, no.
Self-checkout except four lanes.
And then you're fighting with the other people our age for those lanes.
For those lanes, yes. They are, every lane at the Hy-Vee in Mission has gone to automated self-checkout. All of them.
Do they also have the surveillance camera blasting at you in all red letters, you are being filmed?
I think you can see yourself on the screen so you know you're being filmed.
Yeah. The ones I've been to will say, you are being filmed. And do you know what I do to those screens every single time?
Middle finger,
that
I'm sure.
That I don't use them because I refuse. Yes, a gigantic double middle finger every single time I walk by those. I'm not doing it. I will wait in line for 25 minutes.
I will too.
Behind four old people writing checks and putting down their information in the ledger.
Well, of course.
How do you keep track?
How do you balance your checkbook if you don't write it in the ledger, Dana?
I will stand with a smile on my face behind the oldest person in America while they write a check, and I will not complain because I despise self-checkout that
well,
much.
Well, I'm telling you, I don't know how they did it, but it was like one day I walk in, and there are like 15.
And then where did those people go?
Well, they probably got canned. Because I'll tell you what. Have a blessed day, lady. Haven't seen her since.
We should start putting up wanted posters all over, like missing person posters. Have you seen my Hy-Vee guy or my Price Chopper guy or my Dylan's guy?
They're all gone. All right. We got to run, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a good day. It has been a good day. Make sure you get out and vote. Lots of time this weekend. It's going to be a beautiful weekend to do it. On behalf of our producer today, Grant Miller, my good friend and co-host, Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. It's Festivus Friday tomorrow. Remember that. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.